Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
Do I want to send one of my sons or your son to fight to regain Mosul? Who should want to stop them more? Maybe the people who live there.
There are a lot of groups out there that probably have more advanced immediate plans directed against the United States.
Fighting for Idaho.
Pride is an important celebration for the LGBT community. It's important to be out and be proud of who you are and be safe in your community and show everyone that we're part of Boise.
Fighting for you.
Portugal scored a devastating goal to tie the game.
Team USA settling for a 2-2 draw.
We're Team USA. We're going all the way.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We're joined by our friend Nagmeet Abedini with the very latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed. Nagmeet, good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, I wish once again it were under better circumstances. How are you doing?
You know, almost 2 years. Actually, it's been 2 years since I saw him. He left on June 22nd. So it's still, I'm still trying to get him out and back to Idaho.
Well, how are you holding up on that? I mean, I did see that Facebook posting that it had been 2 years. And can you take us back to that day that you last saw your husband?
Yes, he packed on June 21st, and recently I received his suitcase back. I wasn't supposed to until he came back, but he his parents sent it back, and I got it on the same day he had been packing. And he was packing, and he was supposed to leave in a few weeks, total of 1 month. He was supposed to be in England for 1 week and then make a quick trip to Iran for the orphanage and come back. So we said our goodbyes on June 22nd, dropped him off at the airport. It was early in the morning. The kids were sleeping, so he kissed, you know, he kissed them goodbye as they slept, and never anticipated that the quick goodbye would turn into 2 years of not seeing him.
Well, and been, I'm sorry, Nagmeet, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's been really emotional. In a few days, actually June 30th is our 10-year anniversary, so you know, as many women know, you remember all the moments when anniversaries come up and Father's Day just passed, and just remembering the moments we would be together as a family is very difficult, very emotional.
And for people that aren't familiar with us, we can never emphasize this enough. Your husband had the word of the Iranian officials. He had approval there. He had been working with them. They assured him that his safety would be secure.
Exactly. He was working with them. They were encouraging him to come work on the orphanage. He was getting approval, and all of a sudden they took him, and when they sentenced him in 2013 to 8 years, they didn't say he'd broken any law. They went back to 13 years earlier in the year 2000 when he converted from Islam to Christianity, and they said, you know, his crime was undermining the national security of Iran. And they said it was because of Christian gatherings that had happened 13 years earlier. And, you know, Iran, it is legal to have peaceful gatherings of religious minorities, including Christians. So they couldn't say that was the crime, but they said, well, that was really the Christian gatherings was really undermining the national security of Iran. And this happened 13 years earlier.
Now, and basically he was working with kids in orphanages, right?
He was, yeah. We were taking in kids that no one wanted. We were taking girls that were a little bit older, and 8, 9, 10. And we had worked with the Iranian government to take, you know, kids that no one wanted and that we would take them. So, yes, we were working with kids.
What's the plight of those children now, or the children in Iran?
You know, we were very, the kids and I actually went back with Saeed in 2011, towards the end of it, because we were very close to accepting him. We picked him out, but they never actually made it to the orphanage. So they are still orphans.
That's a sad case.
It is, yeah. There's no one. You know, usually young kids are the first who are taken, adopted. And then usually boys, girls, a little bit older girls are the ones that no one really takes, and they're still they're, you know, turning into their teenage years, and they still don't have any support or any covering over them. So it's pretty sad that they are still without any support because of this.
What goes on in your mind when you hear and read that we might be helping the Iranian government?
Wow, that is something I did not expect. It's playing with fire. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing I could ever imagine. And I hope I really do hope that there's some sanity left, that we don't do that. It's something I never thought I would hear in my lifetime. And it's a crazy government. It's shaking hands with that government is not wise. And I hope there's people in our administration who realize that.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not a bright person, but even I know, look, we can go back to 79. You have much more of an experience with the Iranians than most of us, even before your husband was taken. They're not, the government there is not to be trusted. I mean, when they call you the Great Satan, it doesn't seem like they want to, invite you over for s'mores.
Exactly. Exactly. Their mindset, everything they're about is anti-America and anti-Israel. And so, that even making any agreement with them, it's going to backfire in the future. And as you said, many of us are not politicians, but it's such an obvious, it's so obvious. This is the country they are, and they're not to be trusted. And I do hope our administration sees that too. And it's a mess in the Middle East. But I think we need to really look at it. It's different than Europe. It's different than the U.S. Some forms of diplomacy don't work that work in other countries. You just have to look at the Middle East and say, well, it's its own creature. And how do you deal with it? You can't look at it the way you look at Europe. You just can't. And Iran in itself is another level it's complicated even at a different level.
At 580 KIDO, but Nagmay, let's take a look at the unrest in Iraq and Syria, the Iranians creeping in. Does that have any impact on your husband's situation at all?
I look at the news with the lens of what does this mean for my husband also, because he is in a way taken hostage. He didn't break any law. They took him. The revolutionaries took him, and Revolutionary Guards, who are the ones that are fighting in Iraq right now. And so I do look at it, when they ask for our help, does that mean they're willing to give them up? But we don't, we don't want to help them. But, what does that mean? Are they taking him hostage to try to say, well, do this and do that? And it does. I think all of it, all their involvement, all their talks with the U.S. is somehow involved. And what I think as a Christian is you do the right thing. You don't negotiate with the, enemy. You don't do things, you force them to do the right thing, which is you're taking someone based on their religious belief. They haven't broken any law, and he just needs to be released. You can't be holding him hostage and trying to negotiate things. So this is what I believe in. This is why I've traveled all over the world, asking governments to pressure Iran, because Iran just needs to release Saeed, nothing else, and Iran needs to know that this is not acceptable. The Christian persecution continues, the killings and all over the world, but, a lot of Islamic governments, a lot of Islamic extremists are doing this, and the world, people need to stand up, Christians and non-Christians, and say the slaughter of Christians and what's happening, especially in the Middle East with the Christians, is not right. And Iran just needs to release this guy. And they can't be taking hostages. It's not acceptable.
You bring up a good point, Nagmay. Nagmay Damadini with us here at 580KIDO, talking about her husband, who's imprisoned by the Iranian government. And we urge them to release them. And all the other folks there, not just Pastor Saeed, but there are other Americans, all other folks. But a story just like yours that hasn't been covered by the mainstream media, is the persecution, the selective killing of Christians throughout the Middle East.
It is, and it's horrible. We are just seeing it on the news, but it's happened for thousands, you know, over 1,600 years since, you know, since about a few hundred years after Christianity, when, you know, Islamic governments formed there, and it is, you know, it actually spread in our and in Iran. It spread through violence and killings. If it wasn't an Islamic government before, it was an Islamic country before. And so it's happened for a long time now. It's coming to light, but a lot of Christians are being slaughtered and killed and imprisoned for lifetimes and horrible things, tortures. And my husband's one of them. And our government, he's a U.S. citizen. He hasn't broken any law, and he's been there long enough. Our government somehow Iran realizes that they can still keep him. Our government needs to be very strict, very serious about this. He hasn't broken any law. He's there because of his Christian belief. This is not acceptable to Americans. Release him. I don't think we've been stern enough with Iran on this.
Nagmaid, who's the highest level in our government that you've spoken with?
I haven't spoken with Secretary of State Kerry or Obama, but I've spoken with a few people that are that are responsible for that region.
Like in the State Department, an undersecretary or something like that?
Yes, exactly.
And what has the administration said? I know Senator Rich, Senator Crapo, Congressman Labrador, Congressman Simpson, the Idaho folks have been great, Ted Cruz, Senator Paul, they've all been great. You've got a lot of support from the legislative branch. What about the executive? What have these folks said to you?
Well, we've discussed this before early on. They pretty much said there's nothing they can do. As a lot of millions of Americans spoke out, there was more. They started saying more. But ultimately, it needs to be done. You can't just say, oh, we're very disappointed, the Iranian government, they need to release Saeed. There has to be something that, and Iran is at its most desperate point where they want to negotiate. They want, the sanctions are really hurting them. And they really are now over, you know, now they have the Iraq issue that has threatened them. They're getting closer and closer to their borders, and ISIS is. And so Iran is at a very desperate point, and it's an easy ask, you know, without exchange of, and again, we talked about he hasn't broken any law. Iran's holding him illegally, and Iran's coming to the U.S. at a very needy point, a very critical point. And, you know, what we've told the State Department, why isn't he released yet? You know, you've made statements saying this is not right. President Obama made a statement saying Saeed needs to be released to his family. But there's a lot of talks, but ultimately he needs to come home. He's been there 2 years, tortured, beaten for nothing, for no crime. The Iranian government hasn't even said he's committed a crime. They've said a lot more in the last year, but honestly, I'm just looking for action. He needs to be home right now.
It does say a lot about the differences between the Iranian government and the American government that can hold you without committing any crime for over 2 years.
Exactly. They said the Christian gatherings were undermining the national security of Iran. You say, where's evidence that there was anything anti-government? There's no evidence, but they're saying, well, we think any minority gather, any gatherings of Christian, of religious minorities is a threat to our country because we're an Islamic country. Well, why does it say in your law that that's allowed? And this happened 13 years earlier when there was a more moderate government allowing it. And so exactly, according to their own admission, he hasn't broken any law. They're being a bully and keeping him and holding him hostage. And somehow they can do that. And somehow there has to be someone in our government that says enough is enough. He needs to come home. And we haven't seen that yet. Obviously, he's still there.
Nagmaid, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Nagmaid Abedini. Please keep her, her family, and, of course, Pastor Saeed in your prayers. We'll get an update on his condition, and we'll talk more about what we can do through prayer, through our support, to help Pastor Saeed and Nagmaid and their family. Let's get you to work.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's been held in Iran for more than 18 months, sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges relating to his Christian beliefs. And as we continue to work for his freedom today, again, we call on the Iranian government to release Pastor Abedini so he can return to the loving arms of his wife and children in Idaho.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Nagmeet Abedini with us, with the latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed. Nagmeet, maybe we can't influence the governments as far as our government, but what about the media? And you've been on Fox. You were on Fox over the weekend, a couple weekends ago. You're always on Fox and CNN with Jake Tapper. Is there anything that you think of, and you work with the American Center for Law and Justice and other great groups and groups around the country, to get this story to the national networks?
You know, this issue, this human rights issue, which I don't understand, has become very hard to cover. There's been a lot of silence, and a lot of other media's Fox has covered a lot, has kept it alive and has kept Saeed alive, honestly. And CNN has followed Jake Tapper, and also Wolf Blitzer has brought it up a few times. And so there's been some of the reporters have asked the Iranian government about Saeed and have mentioned him. So there's been some coverage by CNN, not as much as Fox, but there's been a lot of silence from a lot of these media that claim to be very liberal and very human rights, you know, oriented and care about human rights issues and all these crimes happening all over the world. And here's my husband being tortured because of his Christian faith. And there's been a lot of silence from a lot of other media other than pretty much Fox and CNN. And so that's really heartbreaking to see. This is not a political issue. It's been a lot of support coming mainly from the Republican Party, but if the Democratic Party or other parties step in and speak out, I would be more than happy to praise them for it. And I'm not a political person. I love this country. There's nothing, and I've shared this in front of the Congress, there's nothing more that I would want to see than this country united. And so if anyone really is vocal about it, I will be the first to praise them. But there's been a lot of silence, and which has been heartbreaking.
How is your husband doing?
He was doing better a few months ago. He was taken to a hospital in March, but in May, after 2 months of that, they didn't actually give him the surgery he needed, but he was recovering because of the environment of the hospital. And after 2 months of being in the hospital to recover from the previous beatings, he was beaten pretty badly and taken back to prison. And his family got to see him, soon after he was taken, and he was not doing very well. He couldn't even get up. He had bruises, and they saw him a few days ago again. They see him every Wednesday in the prison, and he was doing much better. He's recovering now. And actually, a few days ago, this last Wednesday, was the first time they actually got to see him in prison without any glass windows separating them. They actually got to see him physically and a physical visitation, which was great for them to see Saeed.
Do you think his life will ever be the same once he's released?
You know, I think anyone who's been held and separated from family, I think they need a time of readjusting. I think it's different. I think he's a different person. He's gone through a lot. Just solitary confinement, I think, are psychologically, damaging. He's had a few of those. He's been in and out of solitary. The tortures and all the things that, you know, every day we don't really go through. I'm sure he has to, it's something that he would have to process and deal with. And then coming back to a family with years of being in prison and solitary and then being with cellmates, it will be different than being with a family. So having to adjust to that, I know it would also be difficult.
Finally, let's talk about your faith in the Lord, his faith in the Lord, and how that gets you through.
You know, I've shared before, every morning I get up, and I'm sure, you know, anyone going through a difficulty feels that. You don't feel even the strength to get up in the morning. I look at my bed, and it's empty, and my husband's being held and tortured for his Christian faith. And, you know, it's really every single day, having the strength to even get out of bed and to even talk and travel and I'm traveling to D.C. again this Sunday, hoping to get some answers from the State Department on what's happening with Saeed. And so just to be able to travel it's just my faith. It's not a religion. It's as more real. There's only this relationship with God through Jesus Christ that can give me this peace that no trial, nothing in life can take away from me. Even if everything I loved was taken from me, this is so real that has given me so much peace and joy. And, you know, that's something I tell people. You can go through the worst storms in life and have peace because there's a relationship that knows the deep depths of who you are and can fix all those anxieties and worries and trauma that you're going through with whatever issue it is, be it economics, finances, relationships. And that's been the jewel that I've discovered in the last 2 years, that when you go through a rough time, to know that that's real. It's a real living faith. And Jesus is real. And then for Saeed, the same. They haven't been able to break him because of his faith. They wanted to break him to his spirit. They wanted him to go back to Islam, repent of his Christian faith. And he's had more joy, more peace that has actually made the guards confused of how this is even possible, has made the other inmates confused. He's led other inmates to Christ because of that. And it's something so real. You can see it in a person that's going through the worst time, and they can still have peace. And I think for me, that in itself, being someone who's always worried, that in itself for me is a miracle that I have so much peace, because that's not who I was before Saeed was taken.
You have a favorite verse in the Bible that you refer to in times of challenge?
I found a favorite verse the last 2 years. One of my favorites is 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10. Where Paul has a thorn, and Paul says, you know, once this painful thorn removed, and God says, my grace is sufficient. And then verse 10, he says, well, I take pleasure in infirmities, in, you know, ridicules, in distress, in everything, in persecution. Paul talks about taking pleasure, and this is not humanly possible. How do you take pleasure in the worst time of your life? And it's only possible because then at those times you're so broken, you discover the depths of your weakness, and you can discover a new intimacy with God. And that's what Paul is enjoying, not the pain, but where the pain is taking him. And so I would say, you know, if we can learn to go against our culture and actually enjoy and embrace what the painful event or person or whatever it is that's in our life, then we can reach another level of intimacy with God, and you could be walking through the storm and it could mean nothing. So that's been my verse in the last couple of years, to just embrace whatever you're going through. It hurts because it's a thorn. You don't want to embrace a thorn, but if you can embrace it, it will take you to places you never thought. It will give you personally a lot of joy and peace, but it will also take you in your life. Like, I have been before nations, before governments, before ambassadors. It will take you to places in your life that you never thought you would ever go.
Nagmaid, keep the faith and safe travels.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, Kevin. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nagmaid Abedini. And, you know, how many of us, we sit back and we think about our own travails, our own issues, and here you have this brave young lady and her family fighting to keep her husband alive and to get him home to the Treasure Valley. And how about that Fox News, through their continual broadcasting of this story, keeping Pastor Saeed alive? And here's the other thing. Shame on ABC. Shame on NBC. Shame on CBS that they can give us this holy-poly, roly-poly propaganda, and they can't cover this story. What's wrong with them? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all you do. Good morning, Idaho. Welcome to the Kevin Miller Show.
Thank you for everything that you present on your show.
Always good to talk to Kevin Miller on the Kevin Miller Radio Show right here on 580KIDO out of Boise, Idaho. It's the pinnacle of talk radio.
Let's get it started.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, it's Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. And, you know, sometimes we get reflective on what we've done. And as we approach our 5 years together here in the Treasure Valley, and coming up next year will be my 20th year doing talk radio, not haha radio, not reading the cards into the next Tim McGraw radio, but actually being the hit as opposed to playing them. It's caused to be a little reflective here at 580KIDO, and I won't bore you with it too much, but just a little insight into what I try and bring you each and every day. And that is something that we try and earn your listenership, and everybody does that with their fake gravitas, with their phony sincerity. But more often than not, and whether I've worked in Pittsburgh or Nashville or wherever else, I am consumed by entertaining you. I mean, I'll be there at night going, gosh, I wish we would have done this as opposed to that, because I realize the magic of the moment that we have together. And as I said before, and people always say, oh, Kevin, you always talk about leaving and such. You never know how long you have on God's green earth, whether you get fired, whether you die. And it's just caused for me to reflect that each and every moment that we have, and I always hate it when we have a bad segment. I beat myself up about it all the time, and as if my life depended on it. To me, my life does depend on this program. And perhaps I don't have the proper perspective of the yuck yuck ha-has, but then again, you won't see them working Saturdays like you do or I do. And if we can continue, I mean, we really call this work. I sit in a studio and talk to you. And I appreciate the compliment. People say, Kevin, I don't know how you do it. And I go, well, I don't know how the farmer does it. I don't know how the guy gets up every day, and whether it's working with the fertilizer, whether it's doing the crops, whether it's trying to make the mortgage payment, whether it's balancing payrolls. You guys are the heroes. Look, we have a lot of heroes. And unfortunately, in our society today, we don't honor them enough. And I believe that's going to be our next mission here, is to honor the people that make it happen each and every day. And we thank the people that work in the nonprofit sector. God bless you, because God is fueling. It's not about the materialism there. The first responders, the military, the clergy. And then it's you that get up each and every day, whether you have kids or grandkids or not. You know, I love my friend Joe, who you can catch at the Albertsons, demoing the Boar's Nest turkey. Actually, after 3 years of hanging out with her, I finally bought some Boar's Nest oven roast. Exciting stuff here. But I just love her magical comments about this program, and it's about her, not about me. And she said, you know, Kevin, a couple more months, I'll be married 65 years. 65 years of marriage. What a great accomplishment. And we're not going to get the positive feedback from television. We're not going to get the positive feedback from the FM decadent jabroni cavity-ridden mind-rotting slap fest that is on FM radio, because they don't think. They don't want you to think. They want you to be lulled to sleep. And people can vilify us, as somebody has in the paper today, about me saying that I'm part of the 40 or 50 right-wing wackos, and that KIDO would be better served if they had a lib on. Lib radio doesn't work. but there has to be an opinion. And I'll continue to have that opinion as long as we're here together. And how can you help me? Well, just by listening, telling friends, continuing to grow this thing. This is a mission. This is a crusade. It's not a yuck-yuck fest, hey, we're going to give away blah, blah, blah next hour. Listen to win a TV. If you have to bribe your listeners, then what's your content? Absolutely nothing. So back to the point I'm trying to make here, and there are a few, and I do need to get to this piece on Trey Gowdy here coming up. Whether you're a conservative, whether you're a liberal, our mission is to hold you accountable. And there's a piece that I've linked to on Kevin Miller Tuesday Morning by Popke on Politics that pretty much articulates the mission of this program. We had a Saturday morning show, as you know, and we need to air part two of our interview with Barry Peterson. Before he talked to the press, before he talked to the newspapers, before this big meeting came up, he spoke with us, and he wasn't happy with me. But right or left, we need to hold ourselves and not be hypocrites accountable, and we need to hold other people, like Congressman Labrador, that I said he should be backing Chairman Peterson. Instead of running amok and trying to be the next Eric Cantor, how about being here? I learned that lesson many times, and I'm not a smart person. I'm not a bright person. I'm very blessed to be with you at 580KIDO. And humility is a tough lesson to learn. But I can remember being on, and you can Google me, I've been on Fox News. I've been on every show that's mattered, including the Today Show, 48 Hours, and others. In fact, we were a couple hours away from being on the Today Show 3 weeks ago. And because I was immature, I thought that was the way to go early in my budding career. But as I've come here and I have changed and you have changed me and you have molded me, the important thing is you support your team like Chairman Peterson. It's more important. It was more important for me to be at the Walmart at Garrity than doing a hit with Greta Van Susteren or anyone else. But that takes an incredible sense of maturity. Congressman Labrador, smart guy, brilliant guy, an outstanding pillar of our community. But you don't chair a convention and then let your chairman hang out to dry. By the way, that complete piece is at Kevin Miller Tuesday Morning. That's the link at the top of it right next to me in a goofy picture of me for entertainment purposes only. 6:50. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Hard to believe that the Michael Keaton Batman movie is 25 years old. What were you doing then? Boy, doesn't that make us sound old? I know what you're saying. Kevin, you are old, you Gary curmudgeon. I mean, forget about Christian Bale. Forget about the Avengers. You know, what was really the first big superhero movie? It was Christopher Reeve, Superman. And then you had this dark Tim Burton version with Kim Basinger, with Jack Nicholson. There's always a big debate between who is the better Joker. How can you not like Cesar Romero from the old Batman series? And then again, who was the most realistic Joker? Had to be Heath Ledger. Jack Nicholson, by the way, took away $60 million to be the Joker on the Batman. Amazing. Of that Michael Keaton series, I would have to say that 2 was the better one. And then Val Kilmer, who apparently used to run around town here, I don't know if he still does, was Batman 3 with Jim Carrey, Tommy Lee Jones, and then it was Clooney with the Arnold Schwarzenegger goofy-looking Mr. Freeze. Anyway, I digress. See, here we are talking about something compelling a minute ago, and now I've gone off on the wacky zany trail. By the way, one thing I was building up to, we are chasing our great friend Patrick Joseph Buchanan, my political mentor, the reason why I'm into talk radio, one of the many reasons, but Pat Buchanan's speech in 1992 at the Houston Convention. He's got a new book out calling it The Greatest Comeback Ever, talking about Richard Nixon. Always a pleasure to talk to Patrick Joseph Buchanan. And today, not only do we have Big Ed Beckley coming up next hour, but we have Blood Feud. You may have seen this on Fox or on the Drudge Report or anywhere else. The Clintons versus the Obamas, where Valerie Jarrett and Michelle Obama call Hillary Clinton Hildebeest, where Hillary Clinton threatened to resign after the Benghazi shenanigans, that Bill Clinton still to this day does not like President Obama? I know what you're saying. Oh, Kevin Miller, who did you get on? The National Enquirer? No, Ed Klein has written a ton of books, and that just doesn't give him the credibility. But based on his specific sources, do you think that the Clintons, the Obamas, or even Katie Couric would allow him to write a book if any of the facts were not true? Again, our way of trying to elevate this program, Ed Klein coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you miss it, don't forget there's always the podcast at 580KIDO. 63 right now in Star. Let's get you to work safely. Coming up next, a roundabout in Eagle. No smoking in Garden City. Whatever happened to the United States of America? Plus, part two of our interview with State GOP Chairman Barry Peterson, exclusively here, 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett.